Blog Talk Radio.
Torch is in the building. The grill is lit. Let's go. Common. Y'all already know what time it is. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got the next 60 minutes or more to rock with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the Chefs. Without any further ado, Sports City, I am producing this show with a heavy heart, a very heavy heart. So I have to do this because this is personal because I usually don't do this. So I have to give a moment of silence to somebody that is very dear to me and my heart, my Aunt Mayella Powell. May you rest in peace. She lost her life just 4 hours ago. So I'm going to give a moment of silence to my aunt, Mayella Powell. All right, let me continue to go on because I'm kind of frozen right now because this is one of my spoilers. Like, these are, you know, you got pillars in life and, you know, people that are, you know, reasons or seasons, and it's like I said, you got a situation where this was my spoiler, like, you know, you need this, you need that, even if I'm on the way out the door, you make sure you're all right, I got you, like this is one of the people that I lost in my life, and this is, not to say anything bad about any part of my family, but, like, the power side of my family, these are the like, the grandma suite, and, you know, as soon as we come to their house, it could be 4 a.m, they making a full-out meal, like a Thanksgiving meal for like breakfast, and it's like, wait, it's April 17th, and like they go on all out, and she's one of those, and very close to me, made sure I was on top of my stuff, made sure she empowered me, like not only like within the mind, but within the body, and of course she was a hell of a burner, so she could cook like crazy, and these people are the ones that inspired me to call stuff like the kitchen, like being in the kitchen, I'm a big boy, so I eat, you know what I'm saying, so like, the day I lost my father, I was in the building in the kitchen, you know, November 2nd going into November 3rd doing the NFL free-for-all with Brian and James. And while Brian was going off, I think Brian and James were going off, I lost my father in the middle of the show. And my mother called me, and I clicked over because I knew he was doing bad, and she let me know. It's like today came, and I was like, I got to do something, man. Because I love my dad, I was like, I got to do something, man. I don't want to be stuck thinking about him because I'm going to go crazy. So I'm in the kitchen right now, and I'm trying to cook up something marvelous for the people. So I got a couple of top fives to stay motivated, keep moving. I know I'm going to get this kitchen heated soon, or actually we're outside because this is the cookout. So I don't want to burn the lid too much, but I got to get the people in the building. I got my co-host in the DMV from the Keystone State, Mr. Simmons, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, man, I come in here and you and I, TP, have been doing this for damn near 10 plus years. You know what I'm saying? And it sucks that once again, you know, we got to, you know, bow our head and, you know, say a word on behalf of your family, man. It's unfortunate. My heart and prayers go out to the whole Powell clan. You know, now is not the time for me to be kikiing and cracking jokes, you know what I'm saying? It's a tough time that we living in right now as America. And on top of all of that, you know, my man has now, you know, lost another member of his family. You know, it seems like every other week my man is losing somebody in the family. So, you know, the time for jokes or whatever will come. But now is not that time. My heart really goes out to the whole Powell family. I was on that show the day your father passed. I was sitting in the building, you know, you know, cracking jokes and talking sports like we do. And my man came back, the whole vibe changed immediately because, you know, at the crux of this whole thing, you know, Brian's out in California, James is wherever James is at. I'm here in the DMV. Mark Mosley's out there in Chicago. You know what I'm saying? You right there in Connecticut, but we a family, first and foremost. And when one brother's down, we all rally. You know what I'm saying? And that's something my pops taught me. That's something my dad taught me. It doesn't matter, black, white, blue, green, or purple. When your brother's down, you strap up and you go to war and you ride with that man. So, again, shout out to the whole Power family. Let's try to put a smile on these people's faces and talk sports. But at the end of the day, we rocking with your playboy. Let's get it.
No, no, and like, you know, here go the crazy part, right? Like, she is like my other, you know, I got great uncle, great aunts, and she's like one of my great uncles that lived to see me, because I got it. In my family, they call it, it's a contagious laugh. He just going to make people laugh when he laughs. So she's like, Tom, go ahead and laugh, you know? And if I laugh, it's like my whole family want to hear me laugh. Like, they sit around a damn table, we deep, like she's, you know, she's one of 17 children. That's why when you see the Power 15, I'm claiming, I think somewhere along that lineage, you involved. Like, they one of 17, so it's like you might be part of the clique. But, you know, just knowing that joy is stolen, you know what I'm saying? The same situation with my pops, you know what I'm saying? Like, losing my dad around the time. And it's heavy in the month of May because the month of May, you know, I lost my Aunt Francine last year in the month of May. My father's birthday is in May. My Uncle Pop that got murdered in 87, his birthday is in May. My Uncle Larry that died in 2016, his birthday is in May. And my Aunt Frank, she died in May, and her birthday's in May. And then just 5 days ago, I just lost a lady that raised me and my brother up like we were one of her own, and that was Mama Delphine. And she just passed. And, like, the past 5 days have been hectic, especially with this, you know, this anger that's going on that come from the state of Minnesota where my baseball team resides. So that's a whole other issue. And people, I'm going to say this in Sports City because I'm done, and I'm glad I got my platform. And I feel like I'm doing my Colin Kaepernick taking my own knee, you know what I'm saying? And I'm starting a movement right now with a bunch of people that are all over the country and don't have the same hue skin as mine, but they're pushing the same envelope. So I'm going to be stressing that as much as possible because we need to attack this right now. And there's a situation where I'm emotionally sunk, and I do got to get myself up off the ground. Like I remember the Dwayne Wade commercial when he's like, you get down, you get knocked down 7 times, you get up 8. You know what I'm saying? And it's something that more than ever, you know, my heart is trapped around, like, not only lifting myself up, but getting back up emotionally. And I'm at that point in time, I'm going to be 39, and this is the year that Martin Luther King lost his life, being 39 years old in America. So not to say I am Dr. King, but I think we don't have no leaders. Somebody got to speak up. Somebody got to step up, and I'm trying. And I'm trying to unite. I'm not doing it alone. So let me get my other brother in the building calling in from the dirty south, a.k.a. the Peach State of Georgia. Nas, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
A little bit even, man. Not too up, not too down. Trying to stay in the middle. What up, Sirius? What up, Ty? Let's get it.
What up, big homie?
Yeah, bro. Hey. I need the energy. I can hear it in you. We all need each other, man. Like, and this is the Power family, though. So they say in that good book, I was taught by them and her, the powers in numbers. So we need each other, no doubt. And I can feel that energy, that vibe that we need. So I don't know. I kind of want to set this off heavy or get into the heavy. Like, I kind of want to appetize all some of the top five and interesting things that I got, or I could appetize this and then start giving out the banging. You know what? I'm going to go into the appetizer and then start throwing out the banger. So the first thing that I have is the potential new playoff proposed bracket that they have through the top 16-seeded teams in the league in the NBA when they get back. Now, I don't know if they're going to just jump into this proposal situation or if they get a couple of warm-up games, which I think they should get a couple of warm-up games because you don't want these guys to go in there absolutely rusty. And – you know, an unbelievable team comes out of nowhere and when it kind of like, and I don't mean to pick on this team like this because I think they are a good team, but just like the San Antonio Spurs won it in 99. It was 99, that shortened season when they beat the Knicks. So that's when I graduated. So Yeah, in that season, everybody's like, well, if it was a longer season, the Spurs wasn't the one that was like, yeah, I feel how y'all feel, because, you know, Avery Johnson may have been the undersized guard, and people felt a certain way, but it was the Twin Tower time. They're going up against, you know, Marcus Camby, Connecticut's own, and going up against Patrick Ewing. This was Pat's last shot at trying to get a championship and fell short up against the Admiral and the big fundamental. But thinking about this situation, especially in the league, I want to see how you guys feel about the proposed top 16 teams potentially going at it. And I'm not going to put it together. So Dame Lillard comes out with a situation that's saying that they should have play-in playoff games. So I don't know if he's trying to do a one and done and you're in the playoffs or something like that, but I want to see how you guys are intrigued about the situation when the potential return of the season starts. I'll come to you first, Sirius.
You know, it's kind of funny you mentioned that, you know what I'm saying? Like, for Dame Dollar to kind of have some type of say, because right now they would not be in the playoffs if the playoffs resume with this 16-team playoff. For those of you all who have not taken a look at it, you know, one will be Milwaukee, two will be the Lakers, three Toronto, four the Clippers, five Boston, six Denver, seven Utah, eight Miami, nine Oklahoma City, 10 Houston, 11 Indiana, 12 Philly, 13 Dallas, 14 Memphis, 15 Brooklyn, and 16 Orlando. You know what I'm saying? So the Portland Trail Blazers will be out the mix. So obviously Dame Dollar wants a play-in game. You know what I'm saying? I will say this, but, you know, when the season came to a halt, you know what I'm saying, they were a team that was trending upward, so to speak. They were playing some good basketball. But honestly, fam, I don't even know if we're going to even get to this. I mean, we all want the NBA to come back. I think I said sitting here on this show last week that I think the NBA will get back, but I don't know if they're going to do a playoff. I would say a play-in game, but like some preseason warm-up, summer league-type stuff to kind of get these players acclimated, because I don't think they're just going to show up in Disney World or Las Vegas, tip the ball, and you're looking at, you know, the bracket starting with, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks playing Orlando. I think that's kind of how it will look. Yeah, Milwaukee will play Orlando, L.A. will play Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not even sure how that will work or who. It's just crazy. But the fact that Dame Dollar and, you know, a couple others that are on the outskirts looking at want to play a game, you know, makes sense.
Okay, wait, hold on. Before I go to Nas, right? Seriously, I got a question. What place is the Thunder in, and what place are Houston in?
You know what? Listen here, sir. I'm not trying to do this with you today. I'm not trying to do this with you today, sir. I just came from church. I just got done recording some drum stuff. Don't get me talking reckless right now. I'm trying to be good.
Wait, are you smiling though?
No.
That's bad for it. I told him I need that energy. I need that. I'm going through some stuff. I need it. We go to the crazy part. Now we in the month of May, and you need Russell Westbrook. So now I love it.
I don't need him.
Okay. Don't start up a whole. The kitchen's wide open, so we can start up a whole argument. You already know. And before I do,
him.
We
have. I take him now.
I know you. You lie. With my Kanye West voice, you lie. I know, listen, a lot of people that I'm around out here are saying that they feel like Russ took the team from Harden. So I don't like to try and mind that. I still feel like that's Harden's team, but the way Russ has played throughout the entirety of the season, it's debatable, but I still give the edge to Harden. So but we're here. But let me open up the kitchen because I got another call in queue before I get to Nas. Calling from the 951 area code. What's your name and what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, come on. You don't got my number memorized? This is Norm from California, baby.
Okay. I got to give him a proper introduction, and the number that I have is different from this number, so don't get started. See, look, they come in the kitchen swinging at me. Boy, I'm going to look. I got a lot to do with. Okay, so welcome another Shepherds in the building. I got Northeast, South, and West up in the building, so I'm feeling some type of way. So let me get now started, and I'm going to come to you, Norm, and see how you feel about the brackets. And, oh, yes, we have some gridiron, so I will be feeding you also. I am cooking up. Naj, your thoughts on the situation, on the potential of the playoff bracket from 1 through 16. Do you agree with it? Do you think they need to get some of those, you know, those games to shake the rust off, because there's only a few games they have left? If they do play the entirety, does it spill into, like, the month of August going into July? I mean, August going into September, and then they have, like, a month off and then go right back into the next season? I mean, your thoughts on how the potential is there, and then the Dame Dollar situation on a proposal he threw out there on a play-in playoff game.
Yeah, well, look, the NBA is on the horns of the dilemma. You got two options, neither one good. You can either forego the season and wait until next year, or you can try to walk this tightrope and figure out a season. So that's the problem that they have. Adam Silver, one of the most popular commissioners we've seen in decades, every decision so far, for the most part, has been correct. He's really popular. The ownership, on the other hand, they want this extra revenue. They want to crown a champion. So the pressure from the ownership to figure out a season is heavy on Adam Silver, but he has leverage in that he's one of the most popular commissioners, so his decision will be respected. But here's the issue. If you do have this tournament that we're talking about, there's just landmines everywhere, from the coronavirus to the idea of sequestering people within a bubble, to the idea of will this be recognized as a legitimate champion? Everything that's, you know, in play here as far as being a problem. So if you're Adam Silver, you're trying to balance these things out. And look, I'm from the thinking of I would rather they just say lost season and we'll start up again in training camp and we'll start up next year. But if they have it, I'm going to watch it. So if they're going to do it, let's talk about – how it can be done. 16 teams, that makes sense. That sounds like a good idea. The issue becomes, what happens if somebody catches the virus? What happens if a staffer catches the virus and it spreads? How do you actually keep NBA players within a bubble and tell them they can't go anywhere? And do you really expect NBA players to follow that protocol? Then beyond that, what does the product look like without fans in the stands, just your broadcasters and live microphones on a couple of players? So this is a complicated situation. There's a lot of moving pieces. I dismiss what Dame said. Dame is like a bartender saying, I think we should have a 2-drink minimum. Of course you think that. It's in your interest to think that. No, Dame, you're not going to the playoffs this year, brother. Y'all struggled early on in the season. Y'all had injuries. It's okay. We're not going to think less of you. You're still Dame Dollar. It's still Dame time in the fourth quarter, but you don't get to make up some NCAA tournament, Make-A-Wish Foundation type situation to get you in the playoffs, bro. You got to go home.
You are a complete mess. And the crazy part of it is with him saying that, about that, he made another statement as well that's caused kind of an uproar about if they don't have the ability to make it to the playoffs, that he doesn't want to risk making it. I don't blame him, but there's still a possibility. And then you got a guy that lives here in my state and born and raised here too, named Dan Orlovsky, who tried to pick on Dame and said that he's spoiled and entitled. Dame is from Oakland, and Dan Orlovsky is from Shelton, Connecticut. Have you ever seen Shelton, Connecticut? Man, somebody got a pig on somebody, man. Spoiled and entitled. I give the edge heavily to Damian Lillard, but I don't even want to jump into that.
Cold in language. Spoiled and entitled is saying so much underneath. But that's Dan Orlovsky, company man. Doesn't surprise
me. Exactly. I'm not even going that far because, like I said at the head of the show, I'm starting up my own movement. So I'll be festering into stuff like that. And then Orlovsky said where he lives now, his new location, You know, Lassie's new home is 10 minutes from my house. So he lives even closer to me than let alone just being in a state where he lived 40 minutes away from me. But, Norm, your thoughts on the proposal and all of the underlying situations with the 16 game, with the 16 teams and Dame Lillard throwing out the potential playoff game, which I a play-in playoff game, which I doubt will happen. And do you agree if I'm about to look at the standings now. If Portland doesn't have the ability to make the playoffs, should he stay away or be able to try and work his way into the playoffs as an eighth seed?
So Nas kind of hit on the head. I think the right move is you just, unfortunately, you just say no. You just cancel the season and let it go. And that, I think everybody who had to make adjustments, not just the NBA, all the pro sports, all the college sports, even down to high school, all that, everyone just had to call it, hey, it's a whatever season. It's weird, whatever, throw it away. But the only reason why they're holding out hope is the revenue part. And that's the big thing is the owners want to make that money anyway, anyhow, and the fans want to see it. So at the end of the day, they probably should cancel it. If they come up with something to allow a tournament, let me put it to you this way. No matter how they dice it up, no matter what decision they make, someone's going to bitch and complain that they got screwed out of a spot or this and that, la-da. So you can't please everybody. Just pick a way you're going to go about setting this thing up and make it happen if it's going to happen. As far as like Lillard's proposal and how he feels and whatnot, I think it's irrelevant because really it comes down to who's going to win, the Lakers or the Clippers. I mean, that's really all that matters. Really, you could just do like a full 7-game series with them, and I think America would be happy. So I'll end on that note just to give you guys something to stew about.
Right. No. I'm actually mad that you went there because you're in my dishes. I need you to get out of my dishes. I will feed you one by one. So since Norm went there, right, and I am right in the midst of that, and I love that he did that because now I got people here helping me cook. And I wanted to throw that out there. That was the next topic I had on top of this. If the potential of this season was lost, who does this hurt more of the team that had the potential to go after the Larry O'Brien? The Lakers, the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Bucks? I don't really want to continue with the Raptors, even though they won the championship last year. I want to throw their name in the pot, but they got hot at the right time. I wanted to see how you guys felt. Who did this hurt more? Because, you know, LeBron has a proof to try and get a championship, and Anthony Davis has not been far in the postseason. He's only been a first-round knockout because he was down there in New Orleans, and this was the year that the Lakers felt like they could make the push. The Clippers put their team together and got stronger and stronger as the, you know, ownership and management got the team stronger and stronger, bringing piece by piece outside of Paul George. They also got Reggie Jackson and Morris there as well in the midst of this season. The Nuggets are playing some good team ball as well, and then looking at the way that the Bucks are playing, hell, they're the best team in the league record-wise, and the Raptors are the defending champ, even though Kawhi isn't there anymore. But the way that they have been playing as of late, even though they went out on the season on a 4-game winning streak, you still have to respect the champs. I was told, well, not even I was told. I used to watch wrestling back in the day, and Ric Flair said, to be the man, you got to beat the man. So they may still have that chip on their shoulder as well to go out there and prove people wrong. Who do you guys think that this will hurt the most out of the five? Or if there's another team on the outside looking in, potentially Philly or a guesstimate team, I'll let you start that one off, Norm. I'll bring it right back to you. Did we lose Norm? Norm, are you still there?
Yes, I am. And I'm sorry. Recap that last portion. You want to say who's going to compete against the Lakers and Clippers? Was that what you said?
No. What I'm saying is if the potential of the season is lost, who do you think this hurts the most with the potential of them winning it all? Like the teams that were
by far the Lakers, and I'm a Lakers fan, but and LeBron, you know, he's like,
is that a biased answer?
No, it's not biased because I'm a Lakers fan, and so I would give them every, you know, benefit of the doubt. But, you know, I played sports my whole life, and I'll tell you, LeBron has definitely lost a step from the last couple of years. He's still good, but
wait,
he's not the same.
LeBron's lost a step?
Absolutely. I see LeBron countless times this year you know, try to drive one way and spin the other way, and then all of a sudden the ball gets stripped and he's asking for a foul. Let me tell you something. 2 years ago, that ball wasn't getting stripped. He just a little bit slower. So you realize, oh, I got to step my game up. And when he played against inferior opponents, he would dominate them. But when he played against good teams, I mean, his numbers would still be there. But I use my eyes as my judgment. I didn't use the stats. I use my eyes. And I just could tell, hey, sports is a young man's game, and LeBron is still very good. But when you play against the best teams, he's not going to take the game over and win it. It should be Anthony Davis's role, and he can do it. The Lakers have that chemistry issue of, well, this guy should be taking over, but no, we're going to do here, or wait a minute, no, that's your role. Whereas when I look at the Clippers, Kawhi is definitely the man, and even though it may upset some of the other players, dude, Kawhi does it. He's just in his prime. And so the Lakers would suffer the most at missing out on this opportunity.
And that's crazy because you said you see slowing down. I don't know anybody that slowed him down. I mean, he don't move like 18, 19, 20-year-old LeBron. He don't move like that. But, like, right now, from the 2012 LeBron to now, that's still that freight train coming in the lane. And, yeah, that same spin move, I know the exact move you're talking about. Everybody else in the NBA knows that move. That means that the defense is collapsing on that, and he still thinks that he can get the ball up to the rim before they get there. And if they rip him, they rip him. That's a part of the game and knowing defensive responsibility. But I'm digging into the X and O's. My father was a coach, so I got a view on that. I got it. Let me get this back around the kitchen. Nas, your thoughts on which team this would hurt the most if the season were lost?
Well, he's correct in saying the Lakers. Every year added or more time added is a decline with LeBron James just because of age. Of course, LeBron is not physically as good as he was a couple of years ago, but mentally he's much better. So the court savvy and knowing, you know, where his shot is and everything else, he's going to be better at that. But, you know, the minutes add up, and that's going to make it harder. So to finish this season would be in the Lakers' best interest. I think they would be the favorite to win a chip. Now, the Clippers, on the other hand, if you forego the season and you give them another training camp, you give them better time to what? Get their chemistry better between Paul and Kawhi and Pat Bev and everybody else. I think they become a better team the more time they get. Denver, how much does Joker weigh right now? Joker ain't been
in. <You too?
laughs> Joker ain't had to check in a while, bro. I don't know what Joker is looking like right now. As far as Milwaukee, I think no matter what, they probably lost their rhythm. They had the best rhythm of any NBA team this season. They had a certain standard that they played to every night, and this disruption has probably put them in a situation where that's going to be a little different. So I think they lose just by all the time off. So I wouldn't say they benefit from it. And I think they want to finish the season, but overall winner, no playoff. Clippers are the beneficiary. If we have playoffs, Lakers are the beneficiary.
So, do you agree with the panel, or do you have another team or one that I mentioned? Serious, are you still there? Do we have you?
Y'all still here. I'm still here. I didn't hear you call me. I was only in the middle of doing something.
Okay. Oh. Did you hear
so,
the question?
So
that
honestly, I got it. I'm with you. So, honestly, for me, man, it's going to sound like a cliche answer, but I don't think any team necessarily benefits for not having a playoff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if the ultimate goal is to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy and you know, due to the or not awarded that opportunity, you know, then you're not going to have an asterisk next to Milwaukee's name, you know, because of the number one seed right now. I mean, you really have to go out there and compete for that. I do agree with what my man Nas just said. I mean, if there's no playoff and you know, just in tune or retool for next year, you know, I mean, there's a couple teams that, you know, get better with time on the practice floor and time in the film room and in the weight room together. You know, teams like the Clippers, you know, teams, you know, that nobody's really talking about right now, the Indiana Pacers, who, you know, got Oladipo back, you know, this season, and, you know, that team is starting to gel and come together. You know, maybe Ben Simmons learns how to hit a jump shot, you know, this offseason. Who knows? But I don't think anybody benefits, you know, possibly, you know, as, you know, hey, they didn't have all, we didn't have a postseason, so that helps us out. I think that's all, you know, us grabbing at straws, trying to, you know, 2K this thing. In reality, you know, teams that don't play, they don't have an opportunity, so it doesn't benefit them, you know, to not play only to get on the practice floor for the following season. If it hurts somebody, I don't want to say it hurts anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I know the Lakers are a sexy pick and Milwaukee's a sexy pick. You know, I don't think we can look at this as endurance or hurt type of thing. I mean, if you don't play, unfortunately, it's due to safety precautions. So get in the lab, get in the weight room, get in the practice floor, you know, if you're able to, and work for next year.
Okay, well, I like it. It's interesting, but I to me, if anybody had a shot, it's two teams, right? To me, Western Conference-wise, I would look at the Battle of L.A. I really thought that the Western Conference Championship, Western Conference Finals, I was going to look at it. But it came out of the city of L.A. I thought it was either LeBron and Kawhi going at it, and I think that would have been good for basketball, even though, you know, my heart lies in the city of Oklahoma. Just hoping that Chris Paul could try to bring a ring there, but that'll be high and far out of the way, but I would love to see it happen. And then on the eastern side of the coin, you know, Toronto defended their championship, but the way that Milwaukee's played ball this year, they've beaten everybody up, like physically bruised people, and you know, just as freakish as it was to try to slow down and stop LeBron, it's hard as hell to try to stop Giannis right now. Like, Giannis is making his way to the rim, and people can't stop a 6'11 guy that got at least decent ball control, even though he's, you know, heavily right-handed, but he's getting to the rim like he wants to. He built a little confidence in his jump shot. I'm not saying that he's Korver deadly, but he's worked with Korver, so that's helping him too. But if this season were lost, I think it would be L.A. or Milwaukee, and I'm thinking that it really would hurt either or. But if I had to pick, I really want to say Milwaukee. I really want to say this would be Milwaukee time to at least try to get the championship, because it's not promised that Milwaukee's going to have these guns still next to Giannis. Giannis is going to be him from now to the end of his career. He's going to be him. But who's to say that these guys don't start falling off like Middleton and Bledsoe and all of these guys that they have alongside them? So I think Milwaukee is the one that I would look at that, you know, and myself, like personally, I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, I think the Larry O'Brien would be hoisted by a Western Conference team. But for an Eastern Conference team to get there, I think the chip would be on the shoulder of at least Milwaukee, because I feel like Milwaukee is stronger than Toronto this year because Kawhi is gone. So if Milwaukee could just steal a game, and they would have home court advantage too. All they have to do is just serve home court and not worry about anything. People would have to go have to knock them out. So this would probably be unfortunate for Milwaukee with the team that they had at this point in time in the season. So I'm actually going against the grain on everybody.
But Ty, if they're in the bubble, does home court matter anymore?
That's true. That is also right. Now that does come into play. That does come into play. But and taking that home court advantage away from them, like they playing on a neutral court, I get it. But like if knowing that, I don't know, bring the speakers in and have the sound of the crowd. I don't know, just do something. Do something to be on your side. Like, I think Milwaukee would have that edge. But if they were on a neutral court, then I think that removes Milwaukee at that point in time. Now you're making me look at it differently. And that's the way he threw a dish on the – he put something on the grill for me to eat. So I got to get my mind right. So that is interesting to look at that. Now that I look at it like that, then I go back to the city of L.A., whoever comes out of that, knock him out, drag him out, fight, and wins. Like, and to be honest, Kawhi's a younger player, and he knows how to defend LeBron. And I don't want to say he's as strong as LeBron, but he's strong enough with a higher gun in Paul George. That's a freaky matchup, seven games between them two. Like, Paul George is the offhand, and then you got Anthony Davis the offhand on the other side of the ball. So that'd be tough. However it would come out, but the Lakers are on top, so they – I don't know. It's tough, but if I'm looking at it in that sense, I think it would be the Lakers because LeBron only has so many years left because he is going to be 36 in December. So that is that, right? Now, since I'm still in NBA, I got one more topic, and this is kind of trying to freeze y'all, right? And I know y'all wasn't anticipating where I'm going to go with this dish, right? But I want you guys to get your Jeopardy hats on. Like, this is the end of the show. Well, no, we got time. I'm just saying. But, like, you know, the end of Jeopardy when they do the do-do-do-do-do. They want you to come up with an answer. So the top five ringless NBA greats all time. I want you to think of your top five ringless NBA greats, whether it was Kareem stopping them or, you know, Bill Russell Celtics stopping them or, you know, coming into the 80s, if it was like Kareem, like I said, or the Celtics of the 80s or Mike stopping them or, you know, the 2000s, that's like Kobe and Shaq and the Spurs again because Tim Duncan got five. So the Spurs are in that conversation. And then you look in the 2010s, you got two for Miami. The Spurs are still there as well. And then the Golden State run. Okay, then the Golden State guys. Like, so who do you think out of the entirety of the NBA that you think, this is all opinion. This is all opinion. I ain't trying to pressure y'all, but I do want to cook, so it will be some debate. I hope you guys are in your bag. I'm trying to talk long enough so you guys to really think about your top five greats. Like, I don't even want to give out my five because I got some heavy hitters on this list right now. But I really look, and this is me because I'm spelling my age. I'm an 80s baby. So I really look from, like, the 80s and 90s in the era that I love ball, like, to the death. So it was like, I want this jersey. I want this coat. And watching the players of that era not get no rings, it's like they ain't going to ever get nothing because, you know, Father Time is kicking everybody's tail. But I want to throw this one around the kitchen, see how you guys work. I don't know who to go to first. All right, wait, hold up. Before I go to anybody, should I keep talking while you guys ponder the five? Or
I'm good.
No. Make it tough. That's more fun.
Yeah,
Okay, so I'll come to Norm first. No, I want them to cook first. Go ahead, Norm. I'll let you come first. Your top five ringless greats. All time.
Well. I mean, you know, okay. Again, and the time you watch the game will help you dictate that list. So mine's more the '90s into the 2000s. And, you know, Barkley and Malone are the two that jump out like instantly for me without even really thinking. So Barkley Malone, and then obviously because of the Malone, John Stockton. I feel. You know, he was kind of tied to Malone, but John Stockton, obviously heavy on the assist charts and just a clutch performer, definitely fits up there. So that gives me three. And again, we're going off the top of the head here because I wasn't expecting this, but the next name, and I think it's kind of because I was thinking John Stockton, the next person that stands out to me that I really loved watching, I don't think his career was super long, but I really liked Steve Nash. And I really thought, when he was with the Suns, he was with the Mavericks, I just really thought he was going to get one because he was an exciting player to watch, pass first guy. You know, I'd say about a three-year period, he was just the man, I really thought. And, again, not quite the score, but just really just did some great stuff. So I really like Steve Nash in there. And then, obviously, you know, because I'm thinking off the top of my head, another really great player that just changed the face of basketball for about 2 months, and I want to say Jeremy Lin. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten one yet.
You are hilarious. I'm gonna let you do it again because you got it to joke out, and I'm smiling. So good job to make me laugh, but you're not. And Jeremy Lin won one last year, so you're lying. You're lying. Jeremy Lin won with the Raptors last year. He was on the Raptors roster. He was in the playoffs and everything, and in the finals. He played a game in the finals, so that's a lie. So I'll let you do it all over. Jeremy Lin has a ring now. He was on the Raptors last year. Don't get cooked in this kitchen. No, do not. Yeah, you try to crack a note and I got you.
Okay. Okay, then I have to go with Slava Nedvedenko for the Lakers.
He won with Shaq.
He won one, too? Yeah, oh, come on. I'm just throwing names out there. To be honest with you, I don't got a fifth. I would need to really look at that because there's a lot of great –
You are at least an 80s baby. You got it. No, I'm not. He's not bowing out. You're at least an 80s baby, unless you were born in the 90s, and I apologize. There are a plethora of names that you can pick from right now, a plethora.
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you. Like there's a lot of names, but for instance, I made the Jeremy Lin joke because I just threw out a stupid name, and he's not a great that you know.
If he never got a ring,
he obviously wouldn't make the list. But I'm just saying.
See what happens? You can't watch the clock come back at you.
Well, so you know what? So now that we talked about this, I got mine. Gary Payton, the glove. I loved watching him play.
You're wrong again.
He got
one with the Heat. Right now, if you play four minutes a game, that don't count. You're on Family Feud right now, and you're messing the family up. You're hearing the whole brother, and everybody over there like, no, like, what are you doing? Like, it's not working. You even said GP, and I'm the Sonic Thunder fan here. Like, you heard my heart saying GP, but no, GP was the South Beach and got one. Like, no, can't do it. I need one more out of you. You know what? I'm going to go back around the table because I know nobody's prepared for this.
You know,
I set these top five up for everybody, so I wanted to get people – churning in the kitchen. You're going to give me five when you hear these guys, because I want to get you popping. Then I'm going to throw my five out there. I want to see how you guys fare off compared to my list. Sirius, your five, if you have them.
Yo, I had them from the rip. First and foremost, I'm going to give my five spots to Patrick Ewing. My man should have got himself one, never did get one. My man Norm was on the right track with Karl Malone and Charles Barkley. That's my three and four spot, respectively. I don't understand.
Well, that's two and three. No. You got two and three. You got Ewing, Malone, and Barkley, right? That's three.
Yeah, you're wrong, Barkley. Reggie Miller, man, this cat here was a deadly assassin from behind the arc, never got him a chip. He should have gotten one. And for all intents and purposes, the man is from out here, went to Georgetown. My man Tyrone Powell, know who I'm going with. Met the man in person a couple years ago. The answer, the one and only Allen Iverson, does not have a championship ring. He should have had a championship ring. My man single-handedly carried the Sixers to the finals, beat the Lakers game one, stepped over Ty Lue, and then got boat raced. But, yeah.
He stole one of mine, so I'm taking that one out. I had six anyway, so that's good. That was – so my honorable mention is going to slide back in because he took Iverson from me. Okay, Nash, give me your five.
Hold on a second.
Please.
You can have him. If you want to give me another one, you can.
Because then I'll put Ivy right back where he was. But go ahead.
Let me give you Iverson, and let me throw my man T Mac in the mix. You know what I'm saying? My man Mac. I forgot you. My bad. I apologize. I knew Tyrone Powell was going to mention AI because that's his boy, but, you know, my Houston blood started boiling. You know what I'm saying? My man played with my squad. T-Mac, I apologize, sir. You should have got your ring.
Hey, the one thing that bugs me about Mac is, like, Mac was a dumper, like, period. I don't care where y'all was. Y'all could be in the middle of Asia. Like, Mac gonna score, period. Like, he would jump to the height of the rim and just let that jumper go with his bang. And I don't know how he couldn't get out the first round. Only team he got out of the first round with was with the Spurs, and he was done on the bench with a bad back injury. Like, I couldn't watch Mac's career end. Like, that was horrible. Like, Mac's career is done like that? Like, that's what it is? Okay. Let me keep on going, Nas. I need five out of you. Do you have the five?
People that haven't been used, because that's the type of dude I am. So we're going to go George Gervin. Then we're going to go Dominic Wilkins.
You're doing it like that.
Then we're
going to
go.
Okay.
We're going to go George Gervin. We're going to go Dominique Wilkins. Then we're going to go CP3. Then we're Then we're going to go James Harden.
Lastly,
we're going to end it with Elgin Baylor. Bam. Five.
Now that he did that, now I got to switch up
because normally I hit Barkley and Malone. And I was like, gee, and I got to switch up a lot. All right, so Siri, I'll let you do it over, Siri. Okay, so you want to remove what it would be Malone and Barkley that you're removing, right? So I'll remove Malone and Barkley. I'll put Iverson back. So you got Ewing, Miller, Iverson, right? And Mack. So you got four. I'll do that. So I'll get Malone and Barkley out of the way, and I got to do mine over and think like a motherfucker. Now. I'm not like that. But you know what I mean.
I got to do some thinking now. Oh, my goodness. Let me see. Grant Hill can get on the list. Kevin Johnson can get on this list.
Oh, yeah. Wait, say it again.
Yeah. I said Grant Hill can get on the list. If I wanted to, I'm thinking out loud.
All you needed was one, right? If you're going Ewing, Miller, Iverson, Matt, Grant, right? You got five, right?
That's fine. I'm gonna stay right there.
Okay, so these dudes just swatted my whole list up since he did it like that.
I'm trying to give Norm somebody to play with.
Yeah, I know. And Norm started off with the two that I had. I was like Barkley and Malone already. I thought y'all was going to be ready. I thought I was going to hit it like that. And then Norm said none of it was mentioned. And I had Dominique up there. I'm like, damn, he took the one I had. Oh, my gosh. All right, so I got to do my list over. Right now, at one, I got Nick at night. I love Nick Van Exel. Can't lie. Two. Stretch, Eddie Jones was a monster. I wanted to see Eddie Jones. Three, the reason why I am a Sonic and Thunder fan, Sean Kemp never got one.
That was my honorable mention.
So now I got to come up with some more. So I will go Tim Hardaway, my favorite point guard, number two all time. I'm telling you. Who else didn't get one? I got to think quick. Yeah, he came to Stanford. His mom still live here. Chris Mullin will be my fifth.
Mullin? I thought you was going to go see Webb since you're a big man. Webb ain't got one either.
No. I love Webb, but look, I looked at Webb different, even though I felt bad because he couldn't do nothing about it. Every time we went to the Lakers, you couldn't do nothing with Shaq. And it was like, yo, you were forced to stay outside because you couldn't play in the paint because Shaq was down there. You got to do something. Like, he was staying outside on purpose because he wasn't trying to go in there with Shaq. Like, Shaq ain't going to do you, and if he collapsed, you got to give it to Body. Or one of them shooters got to be ready. Like, Pacer had the pistol on him. Like, Pacer had the pistol on him.
Right. Until it was pressure in game seven and Pages started hitting the side of the backboard. Yeah.
I know, but still, yeah, this is basketball etiquette 101. I was talking this when I was a kid. Shooters keep shooting. Look, period. I don't care if he's in the side of the backboard. We got this, and people don't even know this. Pages was 6'11". He was
I will never forgive Pages for that series, man. He's
trying
down the stretch.
Lost
them that series.
You look at y'all say Pacer's name right now, honorable mention. No, Pacer actually won with Dallas, so I can't even say nothing. Dallas, Pacer won one. So,
you can't pick on
Pacer,
though. Dallas when they put him on the bench. They lost game one, put him on the bench, won the series.
Won the series. It's a damn shame. Doug Christie had a better field goal percentage that series than Pacer Stojakovic.
You can't have Pacer being LeBron. That's out of this world. That's out of this world.
Yeah, that's great coaching by Rick Carlisle. Salute.
You'd be fired sitting up there keeping Pacer out there getting toasted. Like, they had to put the Matrix on the floor. Okay, so Norm, I need one more out of you. After you heard everybody say something, And I need one more. Now, you heard it, and we can't repeat anybody's selection. So I need one more selection.
Well, I will say, as soon as Sirius brought out Ewing and Reggie Miller, I thought, oh, wow, I can't believe I forgot about them. Those were greats right there. Nas did bring up Baylor. I had no clue. But, yeah, out of respect for all he's done. And it's funny, I did have Tim Hardaway on my short list. I chose to go with the funny option of Jeremy Lin, but I did think of Tim Hardaway. I did think about Tracy McGrady for a second, but I thought for sure he was sitting on someone's bench like Gary Payton and got one. So I was wrong on that. So, you know, really, I guess since I'm on the spot, because I'm struggling to find a name here, you'd have to think back to, you know, some of those great teams that were always competing but just couldn't get over the top because another team was dominant at that time. And man, it's still the thing is, when you try to give me a top five, I'm not going to give you just some random name that was okay. I'm trying to think of a great player.
Stoudemire? Bam, there you go.
The reason why I don't jump on like Amari Stoudemire, and I even thought about Sean Kemp, because I said Gary Payton. I was like, Sean Kemp. I would say Sean Kemp ahead of Amari Stoudemire, and no disrespect to Stoudemire because he was great, but I just, you know, when you're talking about your top five, like I'm thinking big time Hall of Famer players. Does Amari Stoudemire Hall of Famer?
Bro,
I don't think so.
I don't mean to be mean. Amari Stoudemire is a better player than Sean Kemp. Sean Kemp's a more exciting dunker, but Amari was a better player. No shots.
We could bark this one out if you want to. I'm not having that. Get out of here. Amari Stoudemire didn't lead a team to a final. Period.
Neither did Sean Kemp. That was Gary Payton's squad.
Yes, he did.
That was Sean Kemp.
No, that was Gary Payton and Detlef Schrempf led him.
Get the hell out of here. Are you out of your mind? Sean Kemp was averaging 30 a game. Sean Kemp was out of his mind.
Sean Kemp never got to 30.
I'm glad I got a dish to cook up. This is great. And in the finals, he was giving Rodman 30. Rodman, you know, Rodman won the Defensive Player of the Year like a couple times. He couldn't deal with
Amari Stoudemire was dunking on Tim Duncan's head as a rookie, bro. Amari's better than Sean, and I'm a Sean Kemp fan.
Are you kidding me? Whoa.
I'm a Sean Kemp fan, bro, but Amari was better, bro.
Is that fair? Do you want me to, like, get into that morning where people get dunked on? Sean Kemp came into the league, like, his first or second year and dunked on dudes so bad, he was the first one to point in dudes' faces, and that was the highlight when he pointed at Alyssa's face. He dunked on Chris Gatlin so hard that it was the N1, and Chris Gatlin gave him that mid-game. Listen, if you dunk on me, it's a problem. No, and I've never been in that position. Like, I'm leaving before you even try to catch me. Like, I'm gone. Forget it. Like, what? You I'm giving you that? And you hit it for N1?
Hey, yo. All right, so check this out. Sean Kemp, the most he's averaged season was 20, and that's in 1998-1999. This brother ain't not never in the history of basketball averaged 30 times my game. Stop it with that nonsense. I'm looking at it right now. If you like that,
and that postseason run right there, what he was averaging in the finals against the Bulls.
Okay, so one series, that dude is the hell out of here. Tell you, come on now, baby boy. You know we do this. This man averaged 17, 20, 18, 16, 19, 17, 15, and 6. This man Hold only on. Averaged this man only averaged over 20 points, not even over 20 points once, and that's in one season.
Okay, now in 96, this is where it gets lost in translation too. Everybody screams the Bulls won 72 games that season. They won 72-10. One of those 10 losses was Seattle that same year. And just to think about this, the Sonics won 64 games. At that point, like the high ever was like 66. Like the Lakers held that. Like, it was nobody getting up to that number. They had 64 wins on the season, and they were number two in the league behind the hot-ass Bulls and beat them one out of them 10 games. Only 10 teams could beat that team, and it was Seattle. And it wasn't
That's cute. That's cute, Timeless. Amari came in at 18 years old, averaging 20-9. Came into the league. He's Sean Kemp 2.0. Had the bounce,
listen,
the jumper, and the post moves, and the pick and roll that was deadly with Nash.
He came into a system already. Hold on. That's how the team had a system already, right? So that's the Antonio, right?
They did not have a system already. Antonio wasn't there yet. Frank Johnson was the coach. Marbury was the point guard. Amari averaged 20-8. He was 18 years old, bro.
Okay, so Marbury could set it up, right? Look, they had Joey, right? Joey's a shooter, right?
Yeah.
Three was because Amari was the four.
The three was Sean Marion.
Matrix is three, and he's the four. They got a system. You gotta beat everybody. Sean Kemp came into the league. GP won't dare. It was Xavier McDaniel. They had Tom Chambers. Like, this was the Sonics right there. Like, are you serious? Like, there was nobody there. Let's be serious here. Michael Cage and a Jerry girl. He was always in the league with a wet Jerry girl in 89.
Your point is invalid. You sat here and tried to tell the people that Sean Kemp was averaging 30 some odd points a game. This brother ain't never averaged 30 points a game. On the flip side, Amari Stoudemire came into the league with a better jump shot, played better defense. The only difference between Amari Stoudemire and Sean Kemp was Sean Kemp had the more ferocious dunk and was more in your face about it in that era. Stoudemire came in and blew it out the water. You missed me with that whole nonsense, man. Come on now.
He's
Sean Kemp 2.0, bro. That's what he was.
Oh my goodness! Would you cut it out?
You remember an Amari after the knee injuries. You ain't remembering Amari for the majority of his career in Phoenix,
Amari
giving everybody work.
Don't get me wrong. Amari was jumping out the whole gym, like the entire arena. Amari was jumping out the scene, like. But come on, he had a whole system there. He had a whole system around him. Kip came in with nobody.
He wasn't a system player. He's a 20-10 guy walking into the league, bro. 18 years old. That ain't system. That's talent.
Wait, hold on. And did he make a dream team? 1, 2, or 3?
I don't know.
He's never been to no Olympics either. He ain't no dream team member, no way, no how.
But think about it. Like, we remember so many of those great moments from Sean Kemp. We kind of overvalue what a kind of a player he was. He was a great player, really, really good. I'm saying Amari was the next evolution of him. He could jump like Sean, but he had other talents. His roll into the basket, his touch on his jumper. Like, that's why he was unguardable. It wasn't because of the system. It was because of the tools he had.
Wait a minute. Sean can shoot too, though. Whoa. Don't get lost here.
Sean couldn't.
I'm not going to let you guys get away with that.
You pull Sean Kemp 15 feet from the basket, he was useless.
He can hit it. He can hit it. I'm going to tell you the shot that Sean couldn't hit. This was Sean Kemp's dumb shot. Listen, anything under the three-point line, Sean can hit. If he was towing the line, he can hit it. If he had his toe behind the line, he could not shoot a three. He couldn't hit a three. That's it.
Hey, go find me a clip of Sean Kemp hitting a jump shot.
No problem. I'll send it to you immediately.
Everything on Sean Kemp is bang out.
Stop that. I can pull up. Boy, oh boy. Listen, you just wait till we get off the air.
Okay.
You will see all types of highlights. Yeah, I know. Buckle up. You gonna need popcorn for this. CO style. You better get your popcorn ready.
So the challenge is we got to watch some Sean Kemp tape tonight, some highlights and everything, and you got to watch some Amari stuff.
No,
but I think you're forgetting Amari. Prime Amari.
He just want jump shot. No, that's listen. He just want jump shot. Highlights of Sean Kemp is not fair. Like, Sean Kemp got at least a good 7 years of water.
And I'm telling you, Amari's highlight tape ain't no joke either, bro. Like, when I say dunking on Tim Duncan, ball bouncing off his head as a 19-year-old in his second year, pushing the Spurs to 6 or 7, like, bruh. Amari was a load, bruh.
You talking about, okay, so then in Sean Kemp's second year, that's when Gary Payne came out of college. That's when he finally got that was the original Lob City. That's where you think Chris Paul and Blake got that from. I mean, Sean Kemp would just be anywhere. He'd be anywhere. Gary would just throw the ball up. Yo, you like, where is he throwing the ball to? Like, don't do that.
Nobody's discrediting Sean Kemp's ability. Nobody's discrediting Sean Kemp being a good player. But to sit here and try to sit here and say that, one, he's better than Amari Stoudemire is just ludicrous. And to sit here and try to tell people that he averaged 34 a game, when this brother ain't never cracked 21 a game consistently for his career, is ludicrous.
Yeah.
This man made a living off lobs and boards. He never carried a team. Gary Payton carried those teams to the NBA Finals. He was just an innocent bystander. He was the Kobe Bryant to Shaquille O'Neal's first three ships in L.A., like we talked about last week. This man was not driving the car. He was in the passenger seat and just came along for the ride.
This is hard. You're telling me that Sonic team was GP's team. Like, you're really saying
that was GP's team. Look at it, baby. Look at it, homie.
The whole time. I couldn't say no New York sport.
Sean was averaging in the teens. GP was 20 every night, 8 every night, and at least 6 every night. 6 boards on top of it. That's GP, man.
Listen, I'm going to post this tonight, and then people are going to be like, you on your bias, man. I'm going to be like, who team was it from? GP came in 90, Sean had 89. So who team was it from 1990? To 96, because Sean basically left 96-97 season and went to Cleveland. I'd be like, who team was that? I'm going to come back to the scene of the crime and give y'all a response. Here's the thing.
If people on your page say Sean,
well, you posted. You posted and tagged me.
This is your dish. I'm going to throw it back at you.
Hey,
you know
he got the nerve to say that. Ain't no everyday people come for me. And he got the nerve to say that every day. Every day somebody coming for me. And
what happened to the Sonics when GP left and Sean was still there? What happened?
What do you mean when GP left? Sean left before GP.
GP got traded before Sean.
No, Sean left first. See, that you gonna tell me about my boy. See, they don't even know what's happening. They don't even know what
happened. Oh, my bad.
Cricket.
I didn't know which year he went to Cleveland and came into camp weighing 300 pounds. I didn't know which year he did that. My bad.
No, he made the All-Star team. No, not his first year in Cleveland. He made the All-Star team with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Don't Don't do this. They're trying to hurt my domain, man. They, the man trying to
Wait, wait, wait. You saying the 300 pounds?
My man doing that Buster Williams, Brian.
Listen, let me tell you what happened. When he started gaining weight, listen. This is when he started gaining weight. Look. When Sean started gaining weight, this was when he was going to Portland. He started gaining weight. When he left Portland and went to Orlando, that's when the drugs got to him. I don't know what buffet he saw. But it was a whole problem. It was a whole problem when he left Portland and went to Florida. Because he got and I hate to pick on him, but he got like Oliver Miller big when he got to Florida. I was like, I don't know what you did down there, dog, or what gator
yeah,
you
Yeah, that was sad to see, man. Because that
Yo,
was
he
one
couldn't
of
even put up a floor.
Remember the,
like,
you remember like, the dunk contest when he kicked himself in the ass on that layout from the throw line,
from
almost the free throw line. Like,
from
Sean
the
Kemp was that too. But
that dude had a better catalog in a dunk contest. I'm only looking silly in a dunk contest. Sean would go
yeah,
down
I
with
mean,
D Brown. He could have won.
He could have
won.
He could have the dunk contest. But remember, when right before Amari fell off, when his knees were still good, that dude was the MVP candidate for the New York Knicks. That's how good Amari was, man, when he was healthy, dude. Like, we forget that, but Amari healthy, he was a problem.
Yeah, but listen to what I'm saying about Sean Kemp. If it ain't, and I hate this about my own organization, like, it looked like the same stuff with KD and Russ, right? If it wasn't Sean, it was GP, because who else is on the team? I mean, we got Detlef later. Who else you had? We had Ricky Pierce. We had Nate McMillan. We had Percy Hawkins got there later. Like who are you really giving me here? Jim McElvain, Sitka. Like come on.
Real talk. Your starting five that played in the 90 NBA Finals, or whatever, was one of the best to ever do it. Like, but they ain't get it done. You had Sam Perkins. You had Sean Kemp.
Wait. Time out. He said Sam Perkins in 96. When Sam Perkins was older than Jordan by like a year or two, and this was Jordan getting into the bag. He's getting older.
Yeah, but this was off the bench. That's a quality role player, bro. That's a quality role player.
Exactly.
Stretch me.
Come on now, sir.
Perkins looked old. Time out. Perkins looked old in L.A. in 91 when the Bulls beat him.
Man, that dude was coming off the bench shooting flat foot threes as a stretch five and balling, bro. That was a quality role play.
Look, y'all two trying anything.
That Seattle half court trap where they used to get all them steals and get in transition, get the game speeded up, where GP could flourish. Ricky Pierce coming off the bench, who was instant buckets. Like, come on, bro.
Right, that's where I give GP Nate was killing them on that trap too. And it was Nate and GP. I don't know how they was working that matter, but these dudes were in pockets right there. I give you that. Them two play hella deep. They play hella deep. That's
the
one thing that gives love. That's what gives all the translation. Like Nate McMillan's defense, and he was hurt. I didn't even know it was that bad. In that final, that Nate was hurt like that, like he couldn't really perform because that would have been the next guard to D Mike, other than putting Gary on harm's way and getting him into foul trouble. Because Hersey, that's what we had to guard Michael Jordan, Hersey Hawkins. Hersey Hawkins is 6'3". Like, are you kidding? Like, Hersey got a jumper, but we're not gonna win that.
He was a solid defender. He was a solid team defender. He's gonna shut nobody down, but he's gonna be.
We're
in
talking
position.
About Michael Jordan. Stop it. We're talking about Michael
Jordan.
You're not gonna.
Their biggest problem was they were a regular season team. The half court trap stuff works in the regular season because teams are tired and fatigued. You're deeper than them. You can kind of wear them out in waves. But in the playoffs, it gets a little tougher to do that because you shorten your rotation. So Seattle was built for the regular season, not necessarily, you know what I mean, a big playoff run. And that's what. And since we're talking Sean Kemp, are we going to say something about LaPhonso Ellis outplaying him in that one series when 8 upset 1?
Don't do that, yo. You're walking a tight line today. You are talking. You're walking a real tight line.
I'm just saying. Are we going to do that?
You keep acting up. Yo, listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. Yo. I'm okay. I'll feel the type of way anyway because today ain't a good day, but I'm going to feel the type of way. Yo, I was like 12, 13 years old right there in 93. Like, that was that right there. And and Toronto was the best team in the West, and we won like the first three out, no, the first two out the gate, no, the five game series. We needed one, yo. They swept the rest of the series. Like, I still can remember game four when Robert Pack dunked on Sean Kemp. I'm like, yo, what's going on? I never seen a football jump that
time.
That's
a Pack name too. I ain't heard in a minute.
Robert Pack. I'm like, yo, this can't be happening. Like what happened? They won the momentum of game four, the game five. And I'm like, yo, all we got to do is win this game. And I just remember Dikembe was stuffing everybody. And I'm like, yo, he can't be playing. Georgetown can't be doing this to me right now. Yo, Sean couldn't get to the lane. Nobody was scoring. They won that game five. Yo, it was like, I didn't even care about basketball right there. Like, I didn't care about basketball. We lost that series. I was like, yo, forget the whole finals. I didn't watch ball. I was like, yo, I knew we were going to the finals. The Sonics was so high. We had the best record in the NBA, best in the West, and couldn't get past the Nuggets. Bryant still all of them.
But this is good NBA history. That's a dangerous team as an 8 seed that nobody would want to see. You got an elite shot blocker, Mutombo. You got an active dude in LaPhonso Ellis. You got Chris Jackson, a.k.a. Mahmoud Abdul-Rahim, who is instant offense. You got a dude like Robert Pack, who's a wild card. Brian Stith, who's a great 3-and-D guy. Like,
that's
a hell of a
deal,
bro.
Gosh. I mean, yo, I was so tight. Like, and I just, look, and it's the crazy part. They'll be an AC, right? And they went, and that free throw went, and he missed. And just watching Dikembe on the ball, like, yo, that's like a tap in my brain. Watching the cameraman come up on Dikembe and swirl around him while he hold the ball. Like I could see that in my head, like, vivid. Like it's just so bad. And it's like I'm caught in the middle of emotions because it's like I love Dikembe because I'm a Georgetown guy, but I love Dikembe. It's like, did I want to see him advance? No, because this is my team. But it's like, who would I be happier for would be at Dikembe, but they didn't do nothing after that. You know what I'm saying? So. Oh my God!
On the right night, Mahmoud could give it to anybody in the league if he was feeling good and the jump was falling. He could eat anybody.
He gave Mike 49. He gave Michael Jordan 49.
Yeah.
Woo. Woo. Okay.
Basketball prodigy on the Mississippi dirt court since he was 12, giving people work. You know what I mean?
And he got – listen, and I didn't even know how bad of a shooter he was. So he got OCD. I don't know if it's just his own OCD or if it was just OCD basketball.
No, yeah, Tourette's syndrome.
Yeah, Tourette's. So he liked everything perfect. So he liked everything perfect.
Yeah.
So if the ball touched the rim a little bit, he's pissed. I'm like, the shots he hit, and, like, I'm accepting. Like, okay, like, we're sweet. Like, he's mad. Like it got to be sweeter than that. Like, please, you want to
imagine him in the social media era where the camera would be on him and he's tying his shoes 10 times in a row. Like,
right,
bro, that'd be crazy if he was out here now, bro. Crazy.
There's a game that he had up against, and he lit him up. It was him and Stockton going at it, and Stockton couldn't D him no more. Like, Stockton tried to switch, and the Jazz got melted real bad. I think he was on the Nuggets right there. I think he was on the Nuggets. Stockton was trying his best.
Stockton
everything.
Called for help all night.
Some help. Like, I mean, he couldn't be him no more. They had to switch it because it was too bad. It was too bad. Man, he said, Chris Jackson. He said, I remember him with LSU Chris Jackson. Forget Mock. Well, you know, I can't say it like that because I respect the nation. You know what I'm saying? But, man. But you just pissed me off. Yo, you picking on Sean and you talking about my son? I'm coming to Orlando. I just want my head up, man. I said, just let me know what you're going to do. Straight up.
It's all
last
good,
week,
man.
Last week,
you going
no, no, no.
Last
week,
you're
not going to be coming here and coming for me. Yo, last week, he threw a Jay-Z freestyle at me. The Grammys off. And now he did this. Yo, you just let me know. I meet me at Patti LaBelle's, yo. Meet me at Patti LaBelle's. And then we can go out and eat after that. How about that? We can eat soul food now. Okay.
It's all good, bro.
So I got that one out the way, right? Unless, wait, hold on. Before I keep digging in here, do y'all have topics that y'all want to discuss before? Because I'm decent for at least the next 20 minutes or 16 minutes. There's 16 minutes left.
No, I'm good.
Do y'all have? No? Okay. So this one is going to get a little.
I'm going to run.
This is going to get a little tricky, right? because we always do, and this is NFL, and I was hoping Norm would stick around because I knew that he's my NFL guy. But this would have been great for him. So I'm going to try to talk my way so y'all can think about it. We'll probably end up, because I know the way we run, we're going to run. Top five defensive ends of all time. Top five defensive ends in NFL all time. Because it's easy to talk receiver. It's easy to talk quarterback, safety, linebacker. I was like, ponder. Let me give them something so they got to think about it. Your top five defensive ends all time in the NFL. And I'm going to keep trying to run my mouth so y'all can, like, get y'all defensive ends together. Because I know that's going to be tough.
Ooh, time, make it hard.
Let's go,
man. You know what I mean? Being serious, ready. Always.
Oh, really? Okay, so I don't know if you're ready, Nas, but I'm going to come to you first. Your top five, and so I guess we can't mention the same because this is the rule, but I like that Nas did that, so now I got to really be tricky with my list now. Top five.
Oh, you let me go first. Yeah, this is easy. Easy work. Let me get it.
Oh, that
number
serious,
one.
Go first, you talking about, well, you've been dissing me, too. You've been dissing me. You know, serious. Give me your top five.
Come on, man. Don't do it like that. We're trying to get the good list out here, man.
Word up, man. Now I'm laughing at you.
Number one, the Minister of Defense, Reggie White. Got to put Reggie in there. We see the hump move. We know what it is with Reggie. Before the game came on, we knew the tackle was going to get beat up all night. And it just is what it is. So we're going Reggie White, number one. Number two, we're going Bruce Smith. We're going out to Buffalo, man. The unstoppable Bruce Smith, one of the meanest dudes to ever play. Number three, we're going to NFL films to a dude who I never really seen play, but I respect as the OG, Deacon Jones, the head slap. Mm-hmm. You know I got to throw him in there. Number four, I'm going with my boy Michael Strahan, Gap Tooth. Mm. The boys – the boy's always a problem off the edge, man. So that's my guy. And then for number five, I'm just going to cheat and go to ATL for my boy John Abraham. Even though he don't really deserve it, I'm putting John Abraham on there. Bam.
I'm not questionable, but okay, so we have that.
I like it.
Mr. Simmons, I need you to give me five.
Defensive ends, huh? We doing defensive ends. I'm not repeating any of his answers. I can't repeat any of his answers.
Who you got?
I have some time to do some digging. Howie Long is on my list. Howie Long got to make the list.
Come on now. That's what we do. We're cooking the building.
One of my top favorite defensive ends, man, Julius Peppers on the list. I like what he was able to do, man. Julius Peppers.
He cheated because he's in North Carolina. He liked the Tar Heels. He cheated.
And one of the greatest dunkers. One of the greatest dunkers in history.
Yo, I can't stand North Carolina. I like North Carolina. I ain't gonna lie, but I don't like them as much as I didn't like Duke. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I would watch the North Carolina games, and they would all listen. North Carolina used to be hype about Ronald Curry. Like Ronald Curry, the best player in Virginia. Oh, he the player of the year, and everybody could stop him. He got to North Carolina, ain't do nothing. I would watch them games in North Carolina just to see them set up Peppers catch that two hand. It's like, yo, that rim is gonna fall soon. Like, so he used to dunk so hard. Like, oh my God. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm ranting. Okay,
Ronald Curry, born at.
And you good?
Number one basketball player, number one football player in the same class, and disappointed in both.
That was a base.
He can't do nothing in college, and he made it to the Raiders by the skin of his teeth. I don't even know how he did that. Anyway, look, you get me passionate. Go on, serious. Go on.
Hey, y'all, I'm going to take you back from a blast from the past. You know what I'm saying? When I say his name, you're going to start remembering some plays he made. This dude was unblockable for a time. Dwight Freeney, this man here was unblockable. Jason Taylor, I liked his game from the defensive end. And last but not least, my shout out to my man Mark Mosley, who is a Chicago Bears fan. Richard Dent, man, Richard Dent.
Fire. All this,
okay.
Whole list fire.
So now he took two of my guys, and I like this. He took two of my guys, so I got to come up with at least one because I had to throw my honorable mention in there. But a lot of them I'm safe with. I'm pretty much safe with. Number one, is he still
Notice
eligible?
I didn't throw one Steeler in there.
Beautiful.
I didn't throw
beautiful.
One Pittsburgh Steeler in there.
I'm proud of you, but you threw North Carolina in there, so I know you was, you know, trying to work your little magic here. So, number one, I got
Hall of Fame.
Julius Peppers. I got to come up with another one. So one is J.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is Randy White. Number
yeah.
three,
mm-hmm.
I love. They forgot Joe Green. Number four, I love
who,
this
who
one.
Who did you play for again?
The Rams. He played for the Rams. Number four, y'all probably might have forgot his name. His name was Christopher Dolman. I don't know if y'all remember Christopher
mm-hmm.
Dolman
from Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm.
No, Minnesota.
Wrong one. You right.
Okay, and last but not least, and I love that y'all all forgot this name because he was the ring holder out of everybody in the league, even over Joe Montana.
The
Charles
meanest
Haley.
Man in the world.
Charles
yep.
Haley.
Yeah.
Five championship rings.
Five. Yeah.
A man so good, every coach hated him, wanted to kick him off the team, but he was too talented to do so.
They could not get him on at all. San Francisco did not want Haley. Haley was balling his tail off. Balling. I can't believe they forgot these.
Going to sleep in meetings, cussing out coaches, beating up teammates, but you had to keep him on the roster.
Who was the worst out of fighting teammates, him or Romanowski?
I'm going to say Romanowski because he did sucker stuff. He would catch people with blind shots and stuff like that. Haley would just fight you head up, and most of the time,
he'd
fight
head up.
Smoke.
Like, Romanowski would have like knuckles on his hands and stuff like that trying to
cut
people.
Look, and the crazy part, shout out to Dwight Freeney, Connecticut, though, and I didn't know this until, like, once his career started ending, shout out to Romanowski because he's from Connecticut too. Romo, well, that's what they nicknamed him out here too.
You don't want problems with either one of them if you ain't got a pistol, period.
Oh, hell no, not Romanowski. You see how
Jackson?
Hey. He got it. Especially Romanowski, he got it. Like, I want no smoke. That's no smoke.com.
you want a pistol.
Let me get it out. Hold on.
Was
me,
doing the spin
out.
Move
wait,
no matter what.
Trail.
And what do you feel about it?
Get out of the dick. Why is he trying to quit, man? This dude is something else, sports. I'm trying to tell you. Like, he is something else. You see what I got to deal with? Okay, the one that he did with Rolando Williams, and he ended his career. Like, he ended the dude's career punching him in his eye, and he was done. Like, Romanowski is something else, man. Like, and no criminal charges, no nothing like that. And they were teammates. Like, man, I'd have been like, listen, I need a flat 15 out of him or the Raiders. Somebody, y'all got to come up with something. Y'all got to come up. I need it. Like I'm done. You must be mad at yourself. Okay, so we are at the 6 minute point of the show, and I'll wrap it up there. I had an interesting one, but I didn't. You know, I don't feel like it's worthy. I feel like we closing out pretty good. The next topic I had was the steroid rule in the MLB and how you felt about players not being in the Hall of Fame. Like, how long would this last? But I'll save that for the next cookout because I really feel like and people know how passionate I am about this player that I'm about to mention. I feel this certain way about Pete Rose not being in there. He didn't do anything like that shooting-wise. He got caught gambling. And he's never going to – they're basically waiting for him to die. For him to get into the Hall of Fame, and I feel like they're going to do that to every last one of these guys in that steroid era of the 90s. that they're going to hold out from making the Hall of Fame. But I'm going to say that because I feel like that's a good chunk of a show. I don't want to, you know, leave this at the bitter end of the show and then try to close out with it. So I'm gonna end it right there and keep everybody licking their chops to get ready to get back in the kitchen for another round. I got to try, and plus I got to try to keep these sports topics relevant because I ain't got too much to go off of. Like what I'm going to talk about, checkers, chess, badminton, I don't know, okay. So I need plugs and closeouts from the both of you. I'll start with you first, Nah, since you were the latest one in the building. I need a plug, closeout, shout-out, anything that you'd like to promote. And I got the 76th floor. They used to call me the – let me stop. They said you want to hit me with that one. I should hit you with it. All right, so let me go. Let me get up out of here. Thank you both for coming in here. Give me a plug, closeout, shout-out.
Shout out to anybody who downloads the podcast. Good show as usual. Shout out to you, Ty. Shout out to Sirius. Really good talking sports with y'all. Anybody out there, wear your mask. Let's try to bring this number down to make sure we don't get a second wave that hits us and changes everything that we're looking at today. So be careful, be safe, and go on your social media platform of your preference and look up all the GoFundMes to bail people out who are in some of these organizations who are protesting, and really put some emphasis behind the actions that are being done now, to where people are going after these departments for police brutality to the point of murder, which is what we saw in cold blood. Rest in peace to many who have been lost. Shout out to Steven Jackson, who lost his twin and is dealing with this in a really, really tough space right now. But salute to everybody, man.
Yeah, and they're not really brothers, but they look alike. That's why they called each other twins. They look alike. They aren't really brothers, but when you look at their facial features, it looks like they came out the same womb for real. They both got the same nose. Like, it worked. So shout out to the Floyd family, man, and a lot of people losing people, and it just happened to me just a few hours before getting on the show now. So I definitely carry that sentiment for real. I need to speak to you outside of the air because I am starting a movement right now. I got a group of film directors and lawyers right now, and this is day one of me starting it today. Like, I started it today. So if you're on that page, so I need you serious. I even got Sirius involved. I'm not playing. But Sirius, give me a plug, close out, shout out. If we close the lid here at the cookout.
You know what, man? It's your boy, Sirius, up in that 412 and the 703, man. It's such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of the cookout, man. And I'm going to get off here. You know what I'm saying? I started this show paying respect to my brother's, you know, family as he gets ready to put the pieces together. And kind of be a pillar for his family as they bury their loved one, their auntie, their cousin, their grandmamas, you know, however, you know, this fallen young lady relates to T.P. Powell. However, on the same token, you know, I'm going to say this. If you're silent during this time, you're part of the problem. You know, I don't get on here and really go down this road. However, we cannot, as people and as a community, afford to be silent. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're Asian, Hispanic. Wrong is wrong. And if you have a voice, use it. What took place in Minnesota, unfortunately, has become the norm. What took place in Minnesota, you know, a lot of people are shocked by that, but to us African Americans, that's commonplace. You know what I'm saying? We are being literally targeted and made to feel as we go about our everyday lives. Okay, you just honestly got a small glimpse into our reality. And so if you have a voice, this is me urging you guys, this is me begging and pleading, if you have a voice, if you have a platform, like my man Nas said, use it. The only way we eradicate this problem is if everybody bands together and comes against it. Here's my last point about this statement here. And again, I didn't come up with this, but I'm going to repeat it because it makes perfect sense. If you have a police department for 100 people in this department, and you have 10 bad cops in that department, and these 10 bad cops are not reported, that now cop, it's not, you are not part of the problem. Like, we can no longer use the expression that, you know, not all cops are bad, not all cops are bad. Again, I understand that. But these cops have friends. These cops talk to people. These cops, you know, go to sit down at the stores and at the restaurants, and they share their plans and their vision, you know, with somebody. If you are one of these somebodies, you are now obligated to say, my dude, my sister, that's wrong. Don't be doing that. Because at the end of the day, we all have friends, and we all are sick and tired of being sick and tired. God bless you guys. Lord willing, I will see you guys on the next show that we have. If you have any type of ideas, any type of way that will help, by all means, speak out. I am not hard to find. TP is not hard to find. Nas is not hard to find. We are just sick and tired of not having a resolution to this ever-growing problem. I have a 9-month-old baby that I'm trying to raise, and I do not want his generation to have the same problem. I do not want that for our children. I do not want that for our children's children. We have to stop this here and now. God bless you guys. I'll see you guys soon.
I am so working on that. That is not even funny. But here, since I am in the middle of Sports City on my platform, you know what I'm saying, that I created December of 2009, right? This is the same situation that America was going hostile over Kaepernick taking a dog on me on police brutality, and everybody put it to the flag. You are worried more about the flag than people dying. And then you have this year from start to finish for you to feel passionate about somebody losing their lives. And now that you've seen it from start to finish, you've seen a man expire in your face, and now people are feeling a certain type of way. Now it's like, okay, we get it. So you mean to, and I hate the history lesson y'all out, but I got to. You mean to tell me that this has been going on for 400 years and y'all ignored this? And back in the days when it was going down, they used to call the policeman the slave's guard dog. I mean, the slave master's guard dog. So he went out there and tried to catch every slave possible and punished them or did what they had to do, strung up everything. The one thing about this situation that happened with George Floyd is that I've never seen somebody expire in my life. Like actually witness it. You'll see gunfire if somebody gets shot somewhere on the news or something like that. Yeah, I've seen it like that. But not actually watching it go down and somebody taking their last breath and dying. And he's watching, and at first it looked like the one cop was on him, but then you find out there's three cops that are on him, on his lung capacity, and one on his leg so he can't move. So he's completely stable and he's handcuffed. America, the world, however you look at it, wherever you are, I don't care where you are. If you're on the North Pole or you are somewhere in Antarctica, now is the time we got to figure this out together. The strength is in numbers. We got to be together. We can't do this divided. The stability is not there, is not here. And the reason why I've been coming out as of today saying it, there's no leader. There is nobody to go to. There's Jesse Jackson's not our leader. Obama's quiet. Who is going to lead? You can't look at Trump. Trump is enticing. He's more worried about social media than, you know, the people that are out here dying. He's not even stressing the fact that just happened with his own, you know, the government. That's the law, the force. You're not even stressing this. Just come on. We together can do this. We got to do this now. We've seen movie after movie, and God, outrageous. It still bothers me. A movie that I've loved since I was a kid, but I never watched the ending because I get so mad at the end. And it's a movie called What We Need to Do Right Now. Do the Right Thing. Radio Raheem couldn't breathe, choked out, and died. That's a movie Bill Nunn could live again, but he passed on now. Bill Nunn is not here any longer. George Floyd spent the $20 bill in a restaurant or a market. They pulled him out of his car willingly, and they said he was resisting arrest. This is what they say. This is how people die, and we need to step up together. I don't care where you are. My group that I have going right now, we're all over the country. I'm not just doing it out of Connecticut. And I'm not doing it with just the hood. I don't have the hood with me. I have all ethnicities with me, and they are with me. So we got to do this together. Together, y'all. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.